Hello, good morning. Welcome. And thanks for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you prefer email, that's grand. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Now, in the second hour, I'm going to touch on something I love talking about. But it's hard to talk about right now, right? Because the market is terrible. Stocks are down a lot. And, of course, that's normal to have corrections. Certain to occur over and over all the days of our life. It happens. But it really is difficult on us when it does. It's hard. And it's hard to see how it's going to get better. Is inflation ticking up? Well, it's certainly not ticking down, right? It's not going down. But is that new? Is this like just happened? No. It's been ticking up for quite some time. Even the Federal Reserve. Again, I don't understand at all why 9 months ago they didn't stop expanding the balance sheet. In other words, expanding money supply. When they admitted, finally, inflation was real. It wasn't transient or temporary. I have no idea why they kept digging the hole deeper, but they did. So we have inflation. We think it's real. And for 9 more months, we want to expand the balance sheet. I would call that really stupid, okay? Not in hindsight, just it was stupid. Why they didn't stop then, I don't know. It's been here. Even the Fed was telling us about it. So the idea, and this is where we really get thrown, right? Markets look ahead. Well, of course they do. The most classic example that I have is Y2K, year 2000, okay? So in Y2K, we all laugh about it. Oh, yeah, remember, all the computers were going to shut down, the bombs were going to go up to each other, the planes would fall out of the air, all that stuff, right? Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Except the cottage industry of doom and gloom. That did happen. I mean, you want to try to buy a generator in December for any price of 1999? You couldn't do it. Out of everything. And the thing that was crazy about it is that people expected to be like right to the very end. Okay. Market's going to tank. This is a day on the calendar. If the market collectively felt that doom and gloom was going to occur after January 1st of 2000, it wouldn't wait until December 31st to sell out. We would go, oh, wow, 6 months from now, it's the end of the world, so we better reposition our portfolio. Duh. It's the same with interest rates. It's the same with inflation. Well, interest rates are higher. Yeah, and the Fed said they were going to raise interest rates. Well, I think they're going to raise them again. Yeah, they are. Reacting to them after the fact is, in a way, silly. It makes no sense. We know it's coming, so you avoid it. right? It's not something that occurs like, wow, okay. The Fed raised rates 0.5%. They've said they were going to. Why would that cause a market reaction? It wouldn't. It didn't. Now, I can't begin to explain why. On Wednesday, the market decides to go up about 1,000 points and then down by a bit more than that on Thursday. No clue. No clue. But don't worry. There's so many people out there who will explain it all to you. Just cue into CNBC, and I'm sure they had an explanation for why. When the Federal Reserve announced what everybody knew they would do and reiterated what they're going to do next month, that everybody already knew, that the market went up 1,000 points. I'm sure there's people out there that explained exactly why that was a normal thing. And the same people had to, of course, come up with some reason the very next day as it's all repealed. And we forget this basic tenet. We do not know the future. And even if you nail it on some economic report, like unemployment, you know, if it was a big and important unemployment report, this one wasn't, but if it was, and the market did whatever it did, then people could point to that report. But you see, if people said, like, I think there's going to be 400,000 jobs, and it's like, man, look at me. I nailed it. That wouldn't tell you whether the market's going to go up or down. It wouldn't tell you if the Fed raised rates by 0.5%, which everybody expected them to do, and you nailed it, what the market was going to do. We don't know what the market's going to do because it's other human beings. We don't know what the reaction's going to be. We don't know how they were positioned before they went in. Even if you get it right, the unemployment report or what the economy exactly is going to do. And I love looking at that in history and say, well, if all of this stuff would have happened over the last 10 years, obviously the market would go down. But it didn't. Even if you knew all of that stuff, the QE1s and 2s and 3s and on and on and on and on, you never would invest. You see, we don't know the future. And we think we do, and we think it's important to try to figure it out, and it's not. So what do you think is going to happen in the market? I don't know. I really don't know. Well, you know better than I do, perhaps. But I don't know. And why we continue with this guessing game about something that moves up 10% for our whole life. We think we ought to be doing this or try that. There's lots of stuff out there today. There really is. We've never had the ability to hedge the way we do now. Never. Never had anything close to that. Oh, you could buy super expensive options and annuities embedded in them. That's exactly what they do. Buy hideously expensive options. Pay unbelievable amounts of commissions, fees, and are incredibly profitable. And nobody's ever going to lose. And they have to hedge it off. That's why they can't work. They don't work. But there are other things now because of technology. It's amazing to me. Just amazing. You know, what are called structured notes. They even have exchange-traded funds that have hedging mechanisms built into them. It's incredible. Yeah, you can buy them today, sell them tomorrow, sell them in a second later. It's incredible how many things there are out there now. How many different products that aren't with the market. They don't move with the market. They don't move counter to the market. They just don't move with the market. These things are amazing, and it really allows people to do a lot of different things, but we get ourselves caught up and torn away from the basic fact. Markets work. They're looking forward, and they work. We're in a period of turmoil. Oh, yeah, well, see, I just want to step aside right now. I get it. I understand. It seems the thing to do. But it's not. Because what happens is that out of the blue, everything changes. I mean, explain to me why on Monday this week passed, the market went up. I don't know. It did. It went up Tuesday. And it went up Wednesday. And then why on Thursday it changed its mind and repealed all of Wednesday's amazing gain? I don't know. Nothing was resolved in the Ukraine. Joe still is entrenched in not having an energy policy, which is really affecting inflation. Is entrenched in wanting to come up with another pile of money to throw into an inflationary system. I mean, idiot policies. I mean, a child understands you spend more money that you don't have. You expand the balance sheet of our country, you wind up with inflation. Doesn't have to be runaway, but you don't throw more money at it. That's just stupid. And so that's the policies that are overriding all of this, is really stupid. It's not going to resolve. Nothing changed this week. Nothing. But suddenly, even when nothing changes, the market often does. It changes both good and bad for no reason. But we always look for a reason, because that allows us to justify, to think about, think we know stuff, we can figure stuff out, because we feel like we have to figure out the future. And we can't. We can't. So we can hedge, we can do all kinds of things, we can build different portfolios than in the past. We have all those tools now that we didn't before. But you cannot use them to predict the future. We don't know. Nor can you use them and get anywhere away from the simple fact that markets work. And all hedges, all things come with cost. Some so high a cost that they won't work except to make you feel safer. All right, our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. I've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hey, next hour, I it's hard to keep your eyes on it. It is. But let's talk about Dow 1 million, right? Dow 1 million. It's where we're going. And there'll be bumps along the way. It's really hard to keep our eyes focused on it. It really is. That, and I also want to talk about this. I want to talk about, if you will, for people that are just terrorized right now, what do you do? What do you do? What can you do? I don't want to be in the market. I can't be in the market. Do I go buy bonds? Do I do some? What alternatives are there? Or even if you're just like, I got to have to take this money out in a year or two. Or what if I'm entering into retirement? What does my portfolio look like in a tumultuous time like this? It's tough. It really is. So we'll touch on that as well. What do we do besides go and buy an annuity that won't work, paying 10% commissions to somebody? And then you can't get out. What do I do? What alternatives? So we'll talk a little bit about both. Dow 1 million after Fox News at the top of the hour. Hope you'll join us. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. You know, it's hard. Times like this are just plain hard. They really are. I mean, it's not like I feel insulated against the feelings of doom and gloom, right? I mean, How can it get any better? Joe's in charge. I agree with that. How can it? It will, though. Because it does. How could it get better when we had Jimmy Carter? We got Ronald Reagan. That's how it can get better. Yeah, but that's 3 years away. I get it. I get it. But it's not. It's not that far away because stupid policies are going to end in November. They already have, really, for all practical purposes, except for the administration can and apparently will continue to do crazy things. Like, make sure that even though they're pretending that we're opening up more lands for drilling, then they won't, they're delaying permitting. So it has no effect. So those policies aren't really going to change. But what is changing every single day, and we lose sight of this, are businesses learning to deal with impediments. That's right. They're learning all the time. They're working their way around. A great example is, how are we going to get by? How are we? Europe. How's Europe going to get by? Meaning we, the globe. Without Russian oil. They're continuing at lightning speed to do a number of things. One is to stop tearing down their existing power plants, including nuclear. That stopped. Two, they are building as rapidly as possible capacity in LNG terminals, liquid natural gas. Lightning speed. That doesn't solve the problem today, but it solves it tomorrow. It's the same with business, and it's the same in all industries. We work our way around it. We build up capacity in other ways. We figure out how we can get around stupid politicians. It may be tougher. It may even be more expensive. It may be inflationary, which it is. But we get workarounds. Public policy matters, or public opinion, if you will, matters as well. Are people happy about gas prices? Are they happy about inflation? Are they happy that the administration will not do anything about adding more supply? And how do you think that feels to people who the administration listens to? People in their own party when they're running for re-election. And they won't build that pipeline. And they won't allow more drilling. It's a tough one to run against. And so public opinion does matter. And public opinion is angry. So it may not be today, but it is tomorrow. And things are changing. And they always do. They always do. And as we roll towards, if you will, Dow 1 million, it's hard to get that feeling that we're going there, that that's where inevitably we are going. When we're caught in the middle of, even when we know going in, corrections are perfectly normal. Certain to occur over and over again all the days of our lives. We get that, but we don't get it at the time. Because at the time, whenever you have any kind of serious correction, it by definition doesn't look like it's going to get better anytime soon. That it can't get better anytime soon. So it won't, so why don't we wait? By definition, it feels like this. That next week can't be a good week. next month won't be a good month. If it is, it's just a dead cat bounce. Doesn't matter. It's going right back down. Because, fill in the blank. I don't need to tell you everything that's wrong in the world. You saw that on the front page of the paper this morning. Everything that's wrong, every single day, every news report, on the hour, every hour, here is what's wrong in the world today, right now. It's the same as yesterday. But we're tuned in. There's no such thing as, at the top of the hour, we are going to be talking about what could be going right. That's right. We're going to talk about today what could go right over the next year. Wow. At least I haven't seen that channel. Ever. And yet when we take a step back and we think about it, not just what's going on now, not why it's different, Dave. I got it. Okay. You take a step back and you got to say, when I started this industry in 1980, and interest rates were 21.5%. That's the prime lending rate. I didn't qualify at that time for a prime lending rate. 21.5, excuse me. It was a pretty bad time. And I mean, nobody saw it getting better. Nobody. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was at 800 on its way down to 750, where it found a bottom. And well, we kind of know it's up a wee bit since then. Nobody thought, and I mean nobody, except maybe Ronald Reagan, believed in America. Believed we were going to turn it around. It's a trajectory of technology more than anything else, of human understanding, of advancement, people living longer, healthier, more abundant lives than ever before in all of history, right now. So why shouldn't things be at all-time highs? They should. And as we advance, and our economies advance, it's a relentless march higher. And why do we talk about Dow 1 million? Because if the market's anywhere close to what it's been, 10% a year for the last 50 years, we'll be at 1.5 million above that on the Dow in another 50 years. But I got to worry about trading it today. What are we going to do about this month or this quarter? You see, this is the time when we just have to say, whoa, 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 whoa. Look at where we're going. Look at the advances that we have. The greatest country in the world, in spite of all of our problems, in spite of all the fighting. And again, I do. I believe we're at a tipping point. I really do. Things are changing. You can feel it. Billionaires are changing the dialogue. Oh, they're going to take a lot of flack. I get it. Because people aren't going to give up their censorship without a fight. They never do. Why would they? So we're seeing all these things. We're seeing billionaires playing in space. Not with our money. Not with stupid money. Because government is stupid. It doesn't do anything efficiently at all. Nothing. It wrecks everything. So when private sector gets out there and does things like, you know, we got to do something about free speech because government won't. Government is the problem. Government wants to give the message, at least the Democrats do. They want to control the message. If you say things enough, people believe it. Ask the Nazis about that. Oh, yeah, they're Nazis. Okay. They're not. But this is exactly how you get there. It's exactly how you get to dictatorships. You change the messaging. You make people believe, like in Russia, that you're fighting Nazis, not Ukrainians. That you're not dropping bombs on innocent people. That's how you do it. And now, I like free speech. I'm going to get rid of this thing. And it's changing. So we're changing the dialogue. That's a good thing. But when it comes to thinking about things in a long-term way, it's hard to do. Because we always have the excuse of something like this. Yeah, but I don't have 50 years. Okay, so we're not going to invest like it's 50 years. We're going to invest like what? What's the alternative? If the trajectory is this, if this thing we're doing, this experiment called the market, called free enterprise, creative destruction, has produced the best returns, why are we thinking we're going to stop at certain times? It doesn't make sense. It only makes sense when we take a step back and realize it's all based on fear. We're afraid. And we have so many different outlets to scare us. Well, you don't have to do that. You can have market returns with no risk. No, you can't. Now, you can have some of the market returns. And I'll talk about that in the next segment. There's so many things out there. But the last thing you want to do is be attending the doom and gloom seminar. Don't be part of the casino. I'm not. I am the casino. The odds are heavily in my favor. That's what I'm doing. It's not gambling. It's not gambling at all. So as we go into this and we think about it, and we realize we're already nervous. We're already fearful because we can't know the future, and that makes us uncomfortable. And we're human beings after all. So when we have that, and then you throw on top of that, 24/7 doom and gloom. And if that's not enough, then listen to talk radio, doom and gloom, and then get angry and know it's never going to get better because the other side's so stupid. I'm not saying they're smart. But we have to accept and think that things can, in fact, continue to evolve. And making the bet that it's going to end now is a really big bet. And it's one that time and time again people have made. And they're wrong. Time and time again. Doom and gloom may be right like a stopped watch, but the relentless accomplishment of human beings keeps the trajectory moving forward. As we look at the economy, it's a recession. No, it's not. The GDP report was not recessionary. It was slower than expected. Well, it was a negative number. That's a recession. Okay, fine. When we account for inventories, exports, imports, which you have to. No different than a great report. When all of those things are reversed, you go, whoa, 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 it wasn't that good. The economy's growing. It doesn't mean it will tomorrow, but it is right now. And everybody's been talking about the coming recession, the coming recession, the coming recession for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. And once in a while, we have one. You're right. We got hit by a pandemic. Boom, there's a recession. The fastest in history, but we had one. Didn't see that one coming, did you? And what we can see, what we collectively can see, is worth zero because we all see it. It's all priced in. The market's down for a number of reasons. But sometimes it's just down because, well, it's down. There's just more sellers than buyers. And sometimes it's up for the opposite reason, and there really isn't anything to hang your hat on. There isn't. Now, when we look at the market now, you can say, well, gee whiz, interest rates are higher. They are higher. That's a good reason why we should take a pause in the market. Not a collapse. Not it'll never get better. But interest rates at 3% now on treasuries, that's quite a move from 1% and below. That's disruptive. That is disruptive. Inflation is real and disruptive. Interest rates on mortgages up to 5% plus. Way different than 3. Way different. Energy prices. Employment, too low an unemployment rate. We can't find enough workers. All of these things are real. And all of them change over time. Right? And this is why, in these moments, if you wait for change, for them all to change, you miss it. The market's priced in what we already know. When you're betting up or down, and I don't know why you would bet down. Honestly, I don't know why. Most of the days, the market's up. Barely more than half. Barely. Most months, most years, and all of your lifetime. It's a tough bet down. Tough. And when we make that bet, we're saying, and this is where we don't think we're saying this. I know what the future is. I know it's going to be worse. What you're really saying in your mind, and this is how wrong and why it's so wrong. I know what I read in the paper, and so I know that interest rates are higher, there's inflation, and I'm not going to be in the market because markets don't do good. I heard that. Everybody already knows that. It's already priced, and that's what we miss. So easily, we miss that. Because we think that that's knowledge that's worth something. I read that inflation is up. I am informed. I'm an informed investor. I know there's inflation in the world. You know nothing of any importance at all. Because everybody else already knows that, and the markets are already priced for that. That's where we go wrong. That's where we think we got to wait for things to be good again, and then we'll be fine. All right, I got to take a break, and we need some phone calls. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That's our number. And if you prefer email, that's fine. Dave@petsofinancial.net. Let's go to the phones. Hello, Guy. Thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I've been listening to you, and I'm just wondering what your opinion is on a currency collapse.
I don't see a currency collapse coming. I mean, I do for places like Zimbabwe, right? Because we are trading in dollars globally. I don't see that happening. I realize that's a very popular thing, theme out there, that the U.S. dollar is going to collapse and inflation is going to collapse. It actually has been a theme on and off, really, for 40 years that I've been in the industry. It just doesn't go away. It was supposed to happen in the 80s. It was supposed to happen in 2000s. It's certainly supposed to happen in over the past couple years because we're printing money. It was supposed to happen with QE 1, 2, 3, and 4, and certainly after they pulled away QE 1, 2, 3, and 4, it was going to happen. It was going to happen in Europe. It doesn't happen, and we keep looking for it. So, Guy, I don't see that happening. I think it's a bad bet, and that's the short of it. I think it's a bad bet.
Because I understand the need to put money into assets, and that would include the stock market and equity there, mm-hmm. keep the economy rolling. But there does happen to be a shrinkage whenever people start to realize that the currency doesn't buy what it used to, and then it kind of causes a vortex where you get everybody's exiting suddenly.
Yeah, well, they have been, and some of this is real.
Yeah, and I mean, we can talk about, industrial nations back in Germany's time before the war, the Weimar Republic. They had a currency collapse. Zimbabwe is another one that you talked about. They weren't an industrial nation. But you could look at Venezuela.
Mexico, time. Brazil.
Yeah,
I mean, it goes on and on.
But Venezuela was kind of an upcoming, economic power because of their oil reserves. And then Maduro and his predecessor, Chavez, they started using socialist kinds of policies to change things. And now Venezuela is, pretty much destitute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's no question that there are currencies that collapse.
I don't know that it's an unrealistic possibility for any country. I don't care how powerful they are economically. If the socialists get in charge, which they seem to be doing right now in this country, there's a possibility of, a real problem with dealing in the economy, because they're actually, they're trying to shut down supply chains now and that kind of thing. And so it's kind of a scary situation to be in.
Yeah.
I that doesn't mean that we should just exit out of the markets, but we should be cautious, I think.
Yeah. Agreed. Guy, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Have a perfect day.
Thanks.
Bye. Thanks. Bye. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. So Guy brings up a couple things as we head into our Fox News break here. I want to mention this, really. Gold is certainly doing terrible. Gold's supposed to do good in inflation, declining dollar, uncertainty, and it's going nowhere. I mentioned this a couple months ago because it just struck me. If you can't do it now, when are you? It is a very uncertain time, no doubt. We've dealt with inflation before. We may have a recession. Federal Reserve, I certainly am not a big fan of this Federal Reserve at all. I think they've done a terrible job. But they do. I think it's also a bad bet to say that they're dumb. And I think they made some big, big, big mistakes. But theoretically, they know what they're doing. And they're going to raise interest rates. They're going to try to choke down inflation. And one of the things that we have going for us that we rarely talk about is all the productivity gains that are anti-inflationary. Just going in the background. Technology continues to improve, drive down costs in everything we do. Everything. So we have a constant tamping down of inflation is in the background. That's helpful, especially in a high inflationary environment. And it is, I don't know what Putin's going to do. But when we think about things like inflation, collapsing dollar, things like that, all it really says when we're doing that is go with quality. because you can't predict anything else. And putting money into a pretty brick that doesn't do anything just simply isn't working and hasn't worked. And so making these short-term bets is so very, very hard. In fact, nobody's successful at it over the long term. It feels like this is where you want to be super cautious. And I'm okay with cautious. I'll talk about that the rest of this hour. Again, I've got some ideas I want to talk about. There's some things you can do other than stocks or straight-up stocks. And you don't have to dump it into an annuity and pay a massive commission either. We'll talk about that. Excuse me. But when we look out there and say, this is really about quality, well, what currency in the world do you want? What's the highest quality currency? It's not the peso. It's the dollar. What are the highest quality companies? American corporations. There's a few others out there around the world. But basically, American corporations, the most productive in the world. That's quality. You don't have to look at junk. You don't have to predict the end of the world. Long-term trajectories, just own that and own quality. It's always worked. We're going to take a break for Fox News. It's 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome. Thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Please do give us a call. Plenty of time left in today's program. So I promised to talk about some of the, you know, some of the things that are available out there now, because I get it. It's markets are volatile. It's really volatile right now, right? And we can talk about long term, and we can talk about we're going to a million in the Dow, and all that's true. It's all 100% true. But what is equally true is that we're all human beings, and this just is hard right now, right? This is just hard. I get that. And so having something that you can do different, or that at least participates, but protects some of the downside, you know, that kind of stuff, or it doesn't move with the market. Maybe I don't sell everything, but instead of holding a bunch of cash or bonds because interest rates are going up and my bonds are getting killed too, right? I mean, they're getting killed. It's been really bad. That's why, I have a bunch of bonds over here along with my stocks, and they're both going down. Not good. So what is out there? Okay, I'm just going to say real quick, no, you don't have to put it into an annuity. They don't work. They won't work. Stop it, okay? Just stop it. But if you have to stop short of saying, I just can't be all in the market, what do we do? What have we done in the past, right? What do you do in periods like 2000 through 2002? What do you do in 08 during the Great Recession? What do you do? And sometimes we have to feel like we gotta be able to do something, right? You just can't stand there. You just can't stand there. You gotta do something. Well, I don't feel like we're in that time. It's not comparable to 08. But it doesn't hurt to talk about some of the things that have come up since then that allow people to do things that they couldn't do before. We have exchange-traded funds. We've had them for a while, but now they have things that are buffering, that protect the downside to various levels, some up to 30% down. Well, since the market rarely goes down even that much, that's pretty good protection. And that's available on the exchange. Like, boom. And, of course, it has a cap on its upside. Maybe that cap is historically around 10 to 12%. It's not now for volatility. I don't want to get in the weeds. It's much higher right now because of volatility. But here's the point. You're not locked in. I'm not saying it's a perfect product at all. I'm not suggesting you go utilize this in any way at all. We do, and we do it in small batches in certain circumstances. And we use certain ones. Not to be overcomplicating it. But there are times, like when it's really volatile, you capture a lot of upside. And you still get some protection on the downside. I want all protected. Okay, you can. You pick your note. There are structured notes out there. And there's more stuff coming, by the way. This is what's really cool. More stuff coming. All the time. Because computers, costs are coming down. It's people are just thinking about this stuff all the time. And coming up with very clever products. But structured notes are written by the J.P. Morgans and the Morgan Stanleys of the world. Goldman Sachs, etc. Banks, big giant banks. And they're backed and guaranteed by them. And they have all kinds of hedging involved, which includes, and some of them even go out and just buy FDIC insurance. You can do that if you want. On top of it, I don't recommend it because it's costs, right? Your upside isn't as big. But instead of capping upside, these guarantee you get to fully participate in the market, minus dividends. There's no free lunch. But structured notes can be unwound. I don't recommend that either. But you're not stuck like you are in annuities, which won't work, can't work, and you're stuck when you figure it out. There are alternatives. They have interval funds, mutual funds now. Interval meaning you can't get out every day. You only can get out once a quarter. 4 days a year. And those are investing in private real estate. Some are in credit loans. And they don't move with the market at all. At all. So there's a lot of different things out there, and you can put these pieces together instead of sitting on cash that earns near zero. And by the way, instead of tying your money up in annuities for the next 10 years, paying a 10% commission out the door so you can't get out, and it won't work, if you really have to have the highest possible guarantee, which, by the way, certainly is not an annuity, backed by the full faith and credit of one particular insurance company. Really? That's not the best guarantee. Okay? How about the Treasury? 2-year Treasuries are up to 3% now. Yeah, alternatives are there. And it's changing all the time. So technology on one hand gives us interval funds. Technology on another hand gives us these structured notes that are unbelievable and exchange-traded funds that are remarkable in their complexity and yet simply available to everybody for cheap and can trade every day. Lots of alternatives out there now. But the simple one that actually only matters with certain conditions. And I don't think you should tie up your money for 2 years below the rate of inflation. But don't buy an annuity that's only going to give you 3% and ties it up for 10 years. 2-year treasuries are up to 3 now. So we have some things out there, right? Yeah, you don't have to go out 10 or 30 years on a bond. I'm not saying 3 is good, but it's better than it was at less than 1, not very many months ago. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Terry, hang on. We'll grab you on the backside of this, our final break. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Hey, if you have any other questions, need anything, check it out at petsofinancial.com. We also have articles, calculators, as well as podcasts there available for your education. Let's go to the phones. Let's go. We got a couple callers here. Terry, thanks for calling and waiting. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Professor. Hate to interrupt you when you're on a roll like that.
Well, I didn't let you. I know. So thank you, though, for being patient.
Well, that's the same thing we do with our money. You and every other good financial advisor I've ever had said, by the way, what's your time frame? If you're young and investing now, you don't worry about the ups and downs. You stay invested, keep investing more, and dollar cost average in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you're old fart like me, you just if you're not set up for the money you're going to need right away, then oops, you kind of need another financial advisor.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah, it's true. Yeah, you do have to, with a time frame involved. And it's interesting, though, Terry, how many people are like, well, I can't come back. And it's like, well, you may have 20 more years of life. And so we also have to grow the money because of inflation, right? I mean, that's just, it doesn't matter how many dollars you have. It's what they're going to buy that counts. And so we have to do that. But you bring up a great point. You have to also have the availability. It's not, oh, it's all in the market. And so when the market goes down, oops, I got to sell and meet my monthly expenses. No, that money should be in a separate bucket, so to speak, right, that isn't as volatile or it has no volatility at all to it.
Well, yeah, that's the emergency money stuck away in the safe somewhere to take care of my personal third world problem that I've got. I've got a leaky roof.
Right.
Well, I'm not going to come down and bother Tom to say, hey, listen, need to fix my roof. No, I'm going to get the roof fixed and then start building my emergency fund back up.
Exactly, exactly.
If I have to go deliver pizzas or ride Ubers or drive Ubers or what have you, I hate to do it, but it's time value of money kind of thing, I think is what they say.
Exactly, exactly. Terry, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Have a good weekend.
You do the same. Take care now. And let's go quickly to Mark. Mark, we've got a couple minutes.
Yes. Hi. How are you doing?
Hi. Good. Good. Thank you.
I've been fooling around with some stocks and stuff lately and not doing a whole lot with them. I need to get moving more with them. I've inherited them. I've just been letting them sit.
Oh, gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really sure where to go with them. They want me to put in long-term stuff and things like that. I've been keeping it just kind of short-term because I don't know what I want to do with them.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say with stocks, you've got short-term stocks. That doesn't sound right. What do you mean?
No, I haven't really. As Edward Jones, they want me to set up their account for a long-term deal, 30-year deal.
Okay.
And when I got them, they told me that's just on a short-term, and I need to go to the long-term with them. And I'm kind of trying to stay away from going. I don't know if I want to keep them even. I don't know what I want to do with them.
Yeah. Mark, here, we're going to run out of time today because it's not like I can come up with a plan for you, and I wouldn't try to if we had an hour, right? You just can't do it and say this is what you need to do. What I'm trying to get at is it seems to me, though, that you're not really feeling confident in the people you're talking to. So I would check around, right? Find some help that you feel confident with, because that's what you really need. You need somebody to be walking this walk with you and that you can have confidence in. Not because somebody knows the future, nobody knows the future, but can build a portfolio that you can understand what you're doing, short-term, long-term, medium-term, different buckets. And I'm sorry I'm out of time, Mark. And everybody, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.